Welcome to the Lancet Public Health Podcast. I'm Aaron Van Dorn. Today on the podcast, I spoke with Dr. Jasper Bien, consultant neonatologist and associate professor in perinatal and pediatric public health at the Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam, Netherlands. Dr. Bien is one of the authors of a systematic review and meta-analysis looking at the effects of smoke-free policies in outdoor areas and private places such as automobiles on children's health. Dr. Bien, how well established is the evidence for the health benefits of indoor smoking bans, including bans on smoking in private vehicles occupied by children?
Well, we need to realize that the evidence of a link between secondhand smoke exposure and health outcomes is overwhelming. So we know that secondhand smoke exposure is responsible for over 1 million deaths worldwide. And this is because it links to increased risk of cardiovascular deaths, but also respiratory disorders. And particularly for children, it increases the risk of having asthma exacerbations and also severe respiratory infections. Well, in keeping with these observations, we know that smoke-free laws covering indoor places, so public places and workplaces, have benefits for population health, including the health of children. In a systematic review of studies in this field published in 2017 in the Lancet Public Health, we showed that comprehensive smoke-free laws can help reduce asthma admissions in children and can help reduce preterm births and also help reduce respiratory infection admissions in kids. So this is smoke-free laws covering indoor places, but now for smoke-free cars, there's less evidence because less jurisdictions across the world have implemented such laws. And we've just published a systematic review looking at this evidence worldwide, including evidence from England, Canada, and the United States. And when taken together, we see that there is a substantial reduction in the number of kids being exposed to secondhand smoke in cars following laws implementing this.
Can you tell us how McKay and authors designed their study to test the results of smoking bans inside private vehicles carrying children?
Yeah, sure. So from these previous studies that I just noted, we knew that smoke exposure reduced, but there was very little evidence so far on the impact of hard clinical outcomes, and McKay and colleagues very nicely bridged that knowledge gaps. So what they did is they made use of the optimal situation in Scotland, where there is a richness of high-quality, routinely collected healthcare data sets, and they looked at admissions for asthma among children aged under 16 years, and looked at trends over time to see what happened at the time that the smoke-free car legislation was implemented in 2016. So by taking a quasi-experimental approach, this is the most robust way of looking at this. They used interrupted time series analysis, one type of quasi-experimental approach, and then they modeled these time trends and asthma admissions over time, taking into account underlying trends in these admissions, taking into account any seasonal effects, but also changes in population size. And furthermore, they accounted for earlier policies that were implemented in this field, like the Comprehensive Smoke-Free Law in 2006 in Scotland, and a public health campaign to urge people to only smoke outside and not near children. And within that study, they also looked at specific effects of the smoke-free car law by age group and by deprivation quintile. And another interesting thing that they did is not only look at asthma, for which you would expect that an effect would occur if smoke reduction, if a reduction in smoke exposure is indeed present, but they also looked at gastroenteritis, for which no link with smoke exposure is known, to see if there was indeed a negative effect on this outcome.
What were the results of the study?
Well, they were able to include data on over 30,000 hospital admissions, so emergency hospital admissions among children for asthma. And they saw that after the implementation of this smoke-free car policies, where people were no longer allowed to smoke in cars when children were present, there was a small reduction of 1.2% in smoke exposure, in asthma admissions, And this was statistically significant and slightly larger among preschool children, so those aged under 5 years. So each month, the number of asthma admissions decreased by 1.5% since this law was introduced among children under the age of five. They didn't see any changes in gastroenteritis, which, as I highlighted earlier, is what you would expect because there was no link between smoke exposure and gastroenteritis. So overall, this is well, a positive impact of this smoke-free law on asthma admissions among children, particularly those of the younger age.
What are the next steps for this area of research?
Well, we have to realize that this is quite a robust study. It's a quasi-experimental study, which is the best way in which you can evaluate public health policies. But still, it's sensitive to bias. And we also have to realize, as I pointed out, that this is the first study of its kind looking at hard clinical outcomes after a smoke-free car law is introduced. So ideally, we would need to see this replicated in other settings. Also, I think it would be important to look if there was any changes in exposure and to secondhand smoke. Sorry, I'm retaking that one. Also, it's important to see if smoke exposure did indeed change following this policy in Scotland. And if any changes occurred in other places not covered by the law. Furthermore, I think it's important to realize that there is an implementation gap with regard to smoke-free policies worldwide. We know, and we have been knowing for quite some time, that comprehensive smoke-free policies work not only for kids, but also for adults to protect them and to improve their health. But still, only 22% of the world's population is covered by such comprehensive laws. So I think it's important to see and evaluate how we might improve this implementation worldwide. And the same accounts for smoke-free car laws. And specifically for smoke-free car laws, there are, I think, challenges in enforcement and also in increasing compliance. And these are also areas that I think that need further consideration in future research.
Is the current evidence sufficiently robust to encourage other jurisdictions to implement bans on smoking in private vehicles carrying children?
We have to realize that this is a single study that looked at hard clinical outcomes and found a positive impact. I said, well, ideally, this needs to be replicated in other settings. But at the same time, we have to consider this study in the light of circumstantial evidence in this field, namely the fact that secondhand smoke is clearly linked to adverse health outcomes. We know that secondhand smoke exposure is particularly high in cars because it's a small enclosed space. We know that smoke-free laws in enclosed public places work, and there's more and more evidence that they work in cars. Plus, it's cheap and easy to implement, and it's also smoke-free car laws are a policy movement that is highly supported by the public. Over 90% of people support it in many countries. So I think when taken together with all the circumstantial evidence in this field, I think there is quite some impetus for other countries to consider implementing this law. The last point I wanted to make is that it's not just about implementing the smoke-free car law, but this should really be piggybacked onto a comprehensive law covering public spaces and workplaces, because I think protection of people and particular children in various places is important to protect their health.
Dr. Bean, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much.